In our gospel today, the people ask the question, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You know, and that's actually a good question. You know, I think we come to it maybe with kind of with faith, thankfully, with familiarity. Sometimes maybe the edge of what Jesus is saying can be missed because of our familiarity with it. But they ask this question, you know, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And I think the challenge of the question is, one, you know, is this some kind of cannibalism that Jesus is proposing? And two, how is he even able to do this? You know, how do you give your flesh? You know, like, you kind of have to be dead, right? So they ask this question. How would you answer this question? You know what the first reading and the second urge us to understanding, to wisdom. Do you have that understanding to be able to answer that question if someone were to ask you that? Well, Jesus doesn't respond this way, and don't you dare as well say, well, I just meant this as a metaphor. You know, there's no need to get upset. You know, he didn't say that. Instead, he intensifies the amazing, shocking reality of what he will give them. Jesus says, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. All throughout the Gospel of John, there's this emphasis that Jesus is bringing something true and definitive. You know, he is the true light that has come into the world. He is the true vine. That before Abraham was, I am. That something in that Jesus brings something absolute and ultimate, you know, to the people and to us. And so the challenge, whether it's Nicodemus in John 3 or the Samaritan woman trying to understand who the Messiah is in John chapter 4, the disciples is to move beyond just simply the truth that we can perceive with our senses, to go into the deep reality of things. Jesus demands that of his disciples, to have that vision of faith that can penetrate into what Jesus is doing and who he is and what he's giving us as well. And so he demands that as well in our understanding of the bread of life. And so looking at that question again, you know, with the light of faith, you know, what can we say? Well, first of all, I would just note that this light of faith about the Eucharist is something that was there from the beginning, handed on to the apostles right at the Last Supper, spoken about it and taught right there in the earliest times of the church, from the letters of St. Paul to, if you go back to the earliest Christian testimonies that we still have, they speak of the Eucharist and the reality of the Eucharist. This is the faith that has been held by the church from the beginning. It is this Eucharistic faith is at the center, at the heart of the church. And the church has meditated upon this incredible, this amazing gift the Lord gives us for now nearly two millennia. And so we come to that, you know, always wanting to grow in our understanding of this deep truth that Christ gives us. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So flesh to eat, what does that mean? You know, well, indeed, it is eating. It's nothing. It's not some kind of just general metaphor for faith or something like that. And it's very notable that in this passage, Jesus moves from just a very generic term for eating and then moves into this Greek word trogain, trogo, which means to gnaw upon, to chew. In a picture like a dog on a bone. So Jesus, he's not at all backing away from what he said, but instead he's intensifying this reality of giving himself and his flesh and his blood for us to eat. So cannibalism, you know, that is what is so horrific about cannibalism, is that a human being is reduced and turned into food for another. It objectifies and disintegrates the victim into mere food that is then assimilated into the cannibal's life. Yet when Jesus gives himself as food, he does not lose whom he himself is. He remains alive. And indeed, Jesus, when he gives himself to us, actually converts us more deeply into him. rather than that other direction of normal kind of earthly food. We receive life from Jesus and are transformed by him. And Jesus alludes to this life that we receive. He says, I have life because of the Father. So also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. And so the Son proceeds from the Father, our triune God. But in proceeding from the Father, of his being from the Father doesn't lose who he himself is. He remains the Father. And so likewise, Jesus remains alive in who he is, even while he gives us himself for our life, for our nourishment, for our being. There's a beautiful, you can think like a fountain of life from the Father and the Son proceeding from him, and then the Son giving himself to us through the Eucharist, that we would have this divine life. And so this giving himself for us is nothing like cannibalism that destroys and disintegrates the victim, but instead it's this transformative, supernatural nourishment that transforms us into him. And then the first part of the question is, how can this man give us this? How can this man do this? Well, I think, you know, part of it is, you know, how can this man, you know, their assumptions about who Jesus is, and therefore what's possible is limited, has not been really broken open by faith. Recall that Jesus, in saying that he is the living bread in John 6, where does he then actually give himself to his disciples? He does that at the Last Supper when he institutes the Eucharist. When he gives himself and that institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper is in the context of that one sacrifice of the cross that he accomplishes for us. This incredible gift of himself in his entirety. You know, and that's why we have the separate consecration of the bread and then the wine, those two distinct consecrations that point to this great sacrificial way that Jesus indeed gives us the Eucharist. But of course, the cross isn't the end of Jesus' story, the Paschal mystery. It is the resurrection. And so as we receive Jesus, we receive not someone who is dead and gone, we receive the risen Lord. This is the man who is saying he can do this. Jesus Christ who is risen. We receive someone who is not dead but is alive, is glorified, is whole. Jesus' words have power. That is demonstrated again and again throughout the Bible. And just the divine word has power, whether it's from the very beginning, where God says, and through whom the word, all things are created, when God says, let there be, all things came into existence. There is this incredible creative power in God's words. All the way from that to in the Gospel of John, Jesus saying, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. He came back from the dead after 4 days. Jesus' words have divine power from the beginning to Lazarus to all the way to his words, this is my body, this is my blood, do this in memory of me. And so who is this man who can give us this? It is Jesus Christ, who is both truly man and truly God and is risen from the dead, our resurrected Lord. And so the church teaches that even while there is that sign of his sacrifice in the consecration of the body and then the blood, since he is raised, the church always teaches that in whatever part of communion we receive, whichever species, we receive all of Jesus. We receive his body and his blood together because Jesus is alive. That's the good news. We receive his soul, his full humanity, because again, he is fully human and alive and glorified. And we receive his divinity, because Jesus is the Son of God. And therefore, his entire glorified and divine personal existence is what we receive when we receive his gift of the Eucharist. Any real gift is, of course, a gift of oneself. And Jesus is trying to help us to understand that, that he is light beyond light. He is the vine beyond any kind of vine. He is also true food and true drink. And really, any kind of food or drink we experience in this world really points to the ultimate reality of what food and drink is, because it is that eternal, ultimate life that he gives us. Jesus gives us his resurrected life. And so this gift is incomparable to anything else. And that is why Jesus boldly says to the crowds and to us, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. That is why this incredible gift and what it is meant to produce in us, that eternal life, that is why it is so important to receive Holy Communion with faith, with devotion, with sincerity. If you want the Eucharist to be fruitful and powerful in your life, you know, receive communion as that act of faith, as that act of faith, of that surrender to the Lord, willing to be changed, willing to be transformed by the Lord into his life as you receive his life in the Eucharist. You know, his gift of his entire self, body, blood, soul, and divinity, calls from us a total response. Lives given over to him. Or as it says in Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Put on the mind of Christ and live according to his ways and nothing else. The Eucharist is indeed magnificent, mysterious. It's this deep reality that is not easily or superficially understood, like 2 + 2 = 4. But hopefully, you're better prepared now, better in understanding to be able to answer that question, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You know, it's because he indeed transforms us. He is alive in giving himself to us, and we are turned into him, and he is the risen Lord and truly man and truly God, that he has the power to do this. So my brothers and sisters, in our Eucharist today, Jesus is here. Do you approach that gift with eyes of faith, with the divine wisdom that we've been given? Do you approach that willing to be changed and transformed by him? Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world.